What's going on with dance and stuff? What's happening with dance and things? What's going on? What's happening? What's going on with dance and stuff?
So I know you haven't had time to see it, and I'm just briefly going to say I highly suggest people watch Mrs. America. It's important to know who Phyllis Schlafly is. I would assume a lot of people know who Gloria Steinem is. It's also
Shirley Chisholm.
Yes. Betty Friedan. I mean, the feminine mystique.
Betty Friedan.
Know of that. And what was
as played by Tracy Ullman.
And she really is beyond. Like, Tracy Ullman has a scene where she's debating Cate Blanchett that I literally couldn't figure out how she was able to do it. Like, just from an acting perspective, I was like, wow, if she, I don't know how many takes of this she did. Bella Abzug, you know, Congresswoman. Jill Ruckel's House, you know, the pro-choice Republican woman. And the amount of political agency that women had being undermined incredibly strongly and victoriously by a woman is tremendous. And I think the reason we don't know about it is misogyny.
Of course. I will continue chipping away, so then we can really get down to the nitty-gritty, you know, like the wigs, etc.
Oh, the costumes are incredible. You're really going to be blown away. And I cried in every episode. I cried so hard at the end. It's really, and I turned around and saw the 13 disc set of the Audible that Parker had done of reading The Feminine Mystique.
Wow.
Yeah, Parker's the Audible for that.
Wait, Garen just visited you upstate?
Garen is seeing an outdoor event that Michael Arden put together.
Uh-huh.
And so he and his friend drove up and we did a very social distant thing where I put blankets out.
Oh, nice.
Like, you know.
Who's his friend?
20 feet away from each other. His friend Will. You don't know him.
I don't. That's true.
I don't. And yeah, it was really lovely to see him. So anyway, that is my plug for that show. Please, everyone, watch it. What it gets into in terms of feminism, tokenism by libs, the ways in which misogyny inserts itself. I mean, we know this, of course, in terms of internalized homophobia, queens out there listening, also the ways, and of course we have these wonderful examples and that we live with today, like Kellyanne Conway, one of my faves. I still need to find that post that I did of her when she had those bloody knees.
Bloody knees.
And put that onto our.
Wait, what was the name of the White House press secretary before Kayleigh McEnany?
She'd also, I think, had been pulled over or something. Didn't she have some kind of record? I can't remember her name.
I have no idea. She had a famous last name. I feel she was related to some other politician.
Oh, Jeremy's here.
Hello, Jeremy.
Reed says hi, Jeremy.
Oh, speaking of Jeremy, both of our Guggenheim Works in Process virtual commissions are now out on the Guggenheim Works in Process YouTube, as well as they are favorited on our own YouTube channel. So please go to our YouTube channel and browse and enjoy yourself and watch our excellent movies, both of which
yes,
are excellent.
I'm really proud of them. And Jeremy did an incredible job
with both
directing and editing and special effects.
Special effect. Wow, that was something else.
Yeah, we have in our short Goodnight part one, because it's just part one. We'll be making more that follows.
I think it's good.
Character Crystal that I've come up with.
With any work that you make, just if you feel it's in any way open-ended, just write part one, because you just never know.
You never know. And I really knew with this, I was like, this really is just part one. This is just the beginning of that. Yeah, Jeremy showed me some of the prototypes of the effects he was working on as it was building up to it. And I am really happy with it. And also composer. I mean, Jeremy really, if, yeah.
That really struck me in your video. I was like, oh, so he's a composer.
Jeremy is also a composer. And I'm really proud of it.
I hope that part two is like Crystal goes grocery shopping or Crystal goes to the bank.
You would like something lighter fare.
Yeah.
Well, but the Crystal's take on what they're perceiving in the bank or the grocery store might remain dark. I have a super big shout out for watch the short films that Jeremy and I made and that Reed and Harriet made that Jeremy directed and edited.
Harriet's in California now. We're in the same time zone.
Wow. Is she going to come over for a social distant hang?
Maybe one day. I mean, I might not be here much longer than another month, you know?
Yeah, what are you thinking about that? I'm going back in a couple weeks.
That'll kind of, you know, break up the time.
It's going to be different, for sure.
Well, it's good to kind of paint this time into chapters. So for me, it was like chapter one was that month in my apartment. Chapter two is California preschool. Chapter three is school.
Sure.
And then chapter four, I think, is going to be the return to New York City.
Yeah.
And that chapter is not written.
No. Well, it's very interesting. Both Garen and his friend Will talked about, like, it seems like outdoor dining is happening. You know, people are out. And I was like, well, how does that work? Because I've heard a lot of people in New York are not wearing masks. So I was like, so then you're sitting outside eating your food and someone walks by without a mask. And they're like, yep. I was like, wow, that is not something I will be doing.
Well, just imagine you're there. Well, I guess it doesn't work because if you're putting a bite of food in your mouth. I was going to say, just don't take your mask off, but you got it.
Well, remember there was some meme of a woman who had a mask that would open when she would go to take a bite of food.
Oh, I wish that you had a mask that had just a drawing of a mouth on it. And then when you went out to eat, you just bumped your fork into it over and over, but actually didn't ingest anything.
Oh, okay. Well, that would track with me, wouldn't it? That would.
That is something Crystal would do.
Well, Crystal doesn't eat for sure. Crystal does not eat. If Crystal's going to have anything, it's probably a cigarette. That is.
But Crystal can definitely wear a mask for sure.
Absolutely. Or, you know, turn into one of their other forms.
Exactly.
Yes. I mean, well, the United States is still really clocking in at, you know, we're number one. And it is in other parts. New York is doing better, but in other parts of the country, up and away.
It's almost as if
120-some thousand deaths.
It's almost as if you could have predicted it.
It is almost as if in November, I said, when I see 2020, I see no. And then in early February, I was like, so many people are going to die. This is crazy.
Or like, how about in like May, them being like, well, it's probably ill-advised for them to be opening up these states. The numbers will go up.
Yeah. Yeah. It was. Yeah, it's true. Not just like me in terms of tuning in to any sort of witchiness, but any of us, anyone in reality being like.
Yeah. Even, you know, people on the news, Dr. Fauci, et cetera, who advises the White House. Doesn't matter.
He was like, I don't think this is a good idea. And yet,
no,
here we are.
He seems to really have, from the beginning, been like, none of this is a good idea. Also, like, I don't believe anyone should ever shake hands, pandemic or not. You know, like,
yeah.
We have number one hypochondriac really trying to lead the way with nobody going along with him.
It's too much. That part's too much. Oh, I do want to circle back quickly to reference earlier in this 10 minutes you've been listening to this from another when we talked about misogyny. Also, I want to, Breonna Taylor, stay on it, call the numbers, make the emails. It is insane. It is completely insane that these officers have not been arrested. It needs to happen. So stay on it. It's a real.
Oh God, and I'm afraid that everything's just gonna go away.
What do you mean by that?
I'm just afraid that people are gonna get tired, and then it just.
Mm.
And then, you know, the evil empire will continue to rise.
It is, you know, and as anyone who's been in like long activism work, which I am not putting myself in, I am definitely not like my main job has not been being a political activist or has been serving my country in politics. I hope you all voted. I did that. Looks like the people I voted for, I don't think the absentee ballots have all been counted yet. And I did vote for Elizabeth Warren, though, because that's who I wish we were going to get. But
I have a question.
I will vote for Biden. I will be voting for Biden when we get to that. Yes.
So even though there was this option to pick your presidential candidate, was it just kind of lip service?
Well, because it's going to be Biden, you know, because like that's. Mm-hmm.
Right. So,
but what I feel that does, and many people would agree with this, or sort of say why you do it, is if that person then has a tremendous amount of votes, it signals to the candidate, you better keep your eye on that person's values, you know, and what were the things has for me with Elizabeth Warren,
right.
It's not only her values, but what she's accomplished.
Right. Because in the end, like, we are employers to these people. They are meant to serve us, though that seems to have gotten lost somewhere along the way. Or maybe it's always been lost.
I think that's been pretty lost since the start.
Forever.
Yeah,
me too.
I would say
all these white men who were just like, it's our divine right to boss you around, but we're going to make it look like we're doing this together.
Totally. Well, and the women who were like, I love it. You know, and that's what's so great about Mrs. America. She didn't love it. And she did. It's the hypocrisy of her whole career of really, you know, being of wanting to have a big political to be a political icon and to be employed. And she started out as someone who's like, well, maybe that's so. I did some research beyond the show and she started out kind of like, well, maybe the ERA is actually good. And then she's like, oh, wait, it might do these other. And her conservative values were like, oh, no. The most luxurious thing you can be is a housewife.
Uh-huh.
It's so wonderful that we offer that in this country.
Yes.
So
to those of you who, well, none of you listening feel this way, but if any of you have even for a moment thought about this slogan, Make America Great Again, America has never been great. I mean, perhaps the only people who have access to that phrase are our indigenous people, who perhaps at one time some of the tribes lived peacefully on this land, which brings me to my land acknowledgement. Which today, again, I still sit on the land of the Tongva, who I hope in their time on this land were sometimes able to say, America is great. Although it wasn't America,
yes, well,
obviously.
They didn't call it that.
The land that we refer to as America.
Yes, and I am still on Mohican land here. And I would assume that most of the people listening are along with that sentiment. I think it's, and it is something too, that when you work in the field of dance, especially in where we've worked in it, in terms of, not trafficking at times or very often at all with, actual any sort of, fiscal solvency coming from the labor that we're producing and needing to find other ways to do it, one does get to wake up to the reality. You know, it's very matrixy in that way. You're like, oh, I'm in this pod. It's like, you know, when people wake up or maybe they get to take a class and read Karl Marx or, you know, it's are like, what? Oh, interesting, you know.
Literally me right now, every day.
It is. It's literally you every day. By the way, Speaking of listeners, we have a couple reviews here that Jeremy's has sent us.
Oh, I'm really looking forward to just reading these into my ears. It sounds nice.
Oh, to me reading them into your ears? Yes. Mm-hmm. So this one from Jay Lenore on June 2nd wrote, I laugh out loud. I am a 63-year-old ex-dancer, but you don't have to be a dancer to be enchanted by these two. If I lived in New York, I would seriously have to stalk them, but not in a scary way. And I do appreciate that. The other one is, where are, Jeremy sent them, but this one is cut off.
I'm going to look for it online.
I don't know, how does one do any of that? I actually have no idea where I would read reviews. Oh, here they are. Oh, I have to scroll all the way down.
All the way down. And I just gave us 5 stars, which I highly suggest.
Oh, wow. I'm going to do it too. I just did it too. I just gave us 5 stars.
Okay.
As well, because why not vote for yourself?
Now, you can read this very kind review that came from Brandon Sterling Baker, who's a lighting designer
who we love,
that we work with very frequently.
Well, you do. I haven't gotten to yet, but someday when I have that in the budget.
Jack, you know what? It's just for you. It's you. You're good at your own lights.
Thanks.
You can save that money and pocket it or buy the cast some chocolate Linder chocolates.
He has written, Dance and Stuff at first glance could be seen as a simple, relaxed conversation from its title, but after one episode, you'll find it's the best thing you could have happened to you to your Friday. Jack and Reed's interview with Bill T. Jones completely changed the way I view this world as an artist. Forever grateful to this podcast and so excited for next Friday. That is a huge compliment. Thank you. Wow.
Thank you, Brandon.
I love the title of this one. And that's brilliant and essential listening. But I really love the title of this review at the top from Friday, which is Sane Conversation for an Insane Woman. I really, really love this from Jen Led. I'm a 62-year-old woman living in PNW.
What's that?
Pacific Northwest is my guess.
Oh, that seems right.
I'm a nurse. I know next to nothing about dance, not exactly your demographic, but I love listening to these two have a long, intelligent conversation. My favorite episodes are when they just talk about random stuff. Love Reed's movie recaps. But I've also had my interest piqued about dance. Thanks, guys. Keep it up.
Great.
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Rate, review, subscribe here and on YouTube. And also, Reed, I love your movie recaps. I will never forget sitting in, what's that restaurant across from Lincoln Center that's the Subway?
That's the Subway?
It's like eating in the Subway. It's like eating down in the Subway. The Smith, yes, because it's all Subway tiles or bathroom tiles in there.
One of the loudest places on earth.
One of the loudest places on the face of the earth. But I remember laughing so hard when you recapped Gravity for me. And and really, I think it was before we began the podcast, but I remember being like, well, we have to make sure that those recaps are in there. I did not recap Mrs. America, nor do I really want us to very much because people, you just have to watch it. It's,
well, it'll be a part of the discourse as soon as I've watched all of it.
It's important. And I, you know, it came out just, we were like, oh my God, is everyone going to die? We all have to just watch things we already know in the news. I mean, that's what was happening for me. I was like, I need to be soothed. I have to I'm going to watch the news, and then that means I'm going to have to watch Twin Peaks.
Yeah, I do school. Sometimes I take a nap. I've let my Cunningham practice fall to the wayside.
Wow.
I do it in a more personal way now. I've been teaching people remedial kind of Cunningham stuff. And in that way, I am doing it. And I'll get back to proper Cunningham practice. It's just it was somehow felt like I just needed a break. I needed a break.
You needed a break. Well, and also you're doing class now, girl. You're doing class now. I do want to say, you know, get to know this Phyllis Schlafly. Donald Trump went to her funeral. There's a reason why. Her last book was on Donald Trump.
Oy.
And I'm curious who you're going to relate to being when you watch this read. I'm really, there's also, I can't tell you what it is, but there is a scene that Sarah Paulson, who's a composite character, has in the second to last episode. I jumped up and down screaming. I couldn't believe it. It was like you waited the whole season to get to see her do it. It was really incredible.
I cannot believe Nash. I love Niecy Nash.
Niecy Nash, ladies and gentlemen.
I can't believe you're going back to New York City. Wow, it's been a while.
I am. Well, Parker's coming back, and there needs to be a quarantine. Cuomo has issued that. You know, if you were coming from outside of New York, then you do the choir. So it is going to be interesting. But who knows? I mean, maybe Jeremy and I will drive somewhere else. I have no idea. Well, you'll know.
You'll hear it as I hear it on the phone with Jack, which is this.
Yeah, exactly. It's true. Well, and enjoy our upcoming interview with the incredible Regina Rock, a.k.a. Wolf Medicine. And we will be in touch somehow. I really didn't know how to end it. And I was like, because I do really want people to watch our Guggenheim videos. And both of them, I can tell you this, are under 5 minutes long. I think Jeremy's and mine is like 4-ish minutes. I think that's the same for you.
Yeah, ours is like 4.5. So here, I'll try to finish us off in the same vein. Sincerely, Reed and Jack.
Regina and I were catching up before you got here, Reed, that I was thinking about Regina so hardcore last week. And then I went on Regina's Instagram, which, ladies and gentlemen, there is Wolf Medicine, I believe, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, it felt very psychic vibage. And but which is also, by the way, Regina, how I've always felt when I first met you. I was like, I want to know this person forever and ever.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, where are you?
I'm in Brooklyn in my apartment.
Which part of Brooklyn are you in?
I'm in like Kensington Midwood border.
Okay.
Like between those two neighborhoods. I've been out here since 2014.
Okay.
Yeah.
And your partner who I got to meet in the setup, how long have you two been together?
we've been together since March of 2018. She's 8 years younger than me, 7 years younger than me.
So cute. So cute. She was the Jeremy today because she came and like helped set up like the headphones, how we're going to do this with Zoom and separate audio.
Okay.
It was real.
I've been relying on Jeremy, and then I haven't for the last whatever months because of this, and it's, you know, it's a loss.
It's easier with her for sure.
She's helped me turn like Word docs into PDFs,
honey,
and like
completely
insert my signature into a W-2.
Isn't it wild? The things that that dance didn't teach us.
Yeah.
It was really like Jeremy today. There was this thing I'm applying for through Bard, and the Word doc they sent like didn't work. And like it literally just the format didn't work. I couldn't write anything on it. And he's like, it's fine. I'll turn it into a PDF and I'll fill it out and mail it back to you. And I was like, thank you.
Wow.
Oh, girl. Also, yeah, Jeremy just did this thing.
I find
that, Reed, you should do this.
I truly find like the most...
Go ahead.
Okay.
No, go ahead, Reed.
I was just saying, I find like the most backwards ways to accomplish these things where they're like, just fill out this form. So I'm like, okay, well, I can't write on my screen. And I can't. So it's like, then I'll take a... I'll print it out. I'll write it by hand. I'll scan it. And then I'll fax it. You know, it's just insane.
Well, Jeremy also just filled out for me, and this affects both of the two of you and anyone listening, that the small business loan that they're doing right now, it's basically a grant. And so I just applied for it being like, this is how much I made in dance really last year. And I'm getting money that like I won't have to pay interest on. I was like, what?
We already got it. Reed and Harriet already got it.
It's amazing. Regina, so I suggest I'll send you the info when we get off of this. Okay, so you've been in this apartment for longer, but is your partner living with you?
Yeah. I don't waste any time with the people I date. We moved in together basically on like the first date.
Well, are you guys the same sign? Astrology?
No, she is a Libra sun, Scorpio rising, Cancer moon, and I'm a Cancer sun, Scorpio rising, Aries moon.
Regina, I am also an Aries moon.
Hey.
I really get having to be a boss.
Yes.
And I am also a Scorpio rising.
Yes.
It's just that I have an Aquarius sun.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think it's also when I saw your partner, I was like, oh, it's, you know, that an air sign sun is, you know, just a real, they're so pretty. Reach is a Sag sun, and that's all we know because because his mom doesn't really know.
Okay.
We know the day.
We know the day.
Yeah, we know the day.
Okay. But I learned something.
Uh-huh.
You can go even online to something called the Office of Vital Records, and okay. you can order a new birth certificate that for $42 or something like that.
It's worth it.
Yeah.
Do you think so?
Yes.
Reed, it is worth it because I want you on CoStar so we can compare like why we get angry with each other at work, you know, like.
It can help you so much. It can help you so much in just understanding.
It just figured like during this poverty COVID time, it seemed like a luxury to know my moon sign, you know.
Yeah, but even just knowing your astrology, you'll understand how you react to your situation.
Yeah.
And I have to say, like, I'm like such a it's not true. It's totally true.
It is.
And the older I get, the more I'm like, it's totally true.
Yes.
Like this is absolutely
real.
It's real science.
Do you guys want to know something that just blew my mind in Feldenkrais?
What?
Sure.
So Ximena Paz is the teacher, and she was like, you know, we were discussing tension and breath, and she was like, you know, what's interesting is that in Spanish, in Latin root form, the word attention means the lack of tension. So in order to pay attention, you know, there's this idea about doing so without tension. And I was like, oh, heaven. Yeah. I feel really good about that, right? I feel very attentive to you guys right now because I'm so relaxed.
Well, it is a big plug for can everyone meditate? Like,
just
everyone meditate. Like, if you weren't, now's the time. It really is.
Regina, are you doing a physical practice in your home?
I am. I definitely have to connect to my body in some form. So I like a harder class. So I found one on YouTube where we like hold plank and lift weights.
Whoa.
And then a bunch of like leg lifts and a bunch of abs. It's like a 45 minute and I've just been playing it over and over again. And then I also got a really good deal on a 10 class pack through Shadowbox. So
wow.
It was 10 classes for $40.
Is that online or is that
it's Zoom. And then, I wasn't
is
getting.
And is it boxing?
Yeah, like shadow boxing.
Touching the air.
Yeah. So that was my cardio, but I like a good like sculpt, like make my muscles burn. So then I found that YouTube workout.
I want you to send me the YouTube one because I do love a feeling. I love like a really hard Pilates and I will also do like a hard sprint and then something to really make my heart, you know, it's an Aries moon moment.
I really want those things, but I can't. I literally am the person in Pilates who will be like, I feel too much, so I'm going to slow down.
No. I want to burn. I want my muscles to shake.
If I don't, I'm going to punch something. It's a real, like, it's an Aries moon moment of, like, if I don't get this out, I will absolutely rip down a tree. It's got to.
What do you predict my moon is based on my.
I cannot fucking tell at all.
I'm a little bit, I mean, you're so, you tend to run a little colder than me, who's an Aries moon. I'm quite hot, so I'm gonna. I feel like you might be like an Aquarius moon.
Yeah,
that we might be the switch.
Maybe there's some air. Yeah.
I feel it's gotta be some icy air moment, like where you are just like I don't want to do that, and I'm not going to. Which also sounds very Aquarius, quite frankly.
Nice.
But the moon is how you work. And so your moon, you also could be like maybe a Virgo moon.
Yeah,
maybe.
But I don't know.
Maybe.
Well, speaking of work, do you do that, Regina, in your situation? Is there work happening?
Yeah, a lot of work.
Regina is busy AF right now.
I want to know all
about
it.
Like even scheduling this.
I just want to hear about work.
Yeah.
I basically have spent the past 6 years like building this world outside of dance to sustain myself. And I started in 2014 with Ayurveda and yoga. Then I got real into, like, my main job was yoga and bar fitness classes. That's where the burn comes in. And then in 2016, I got very into this style of healing called breathwork. Very, very similar to Kundalini, like breathing. Like, you do it just over like a 25-minute period. Just keep going, keep going, keep going. And so that was really taking off leading up to March of this year. The bar studio switched over to Zoom classes. So I'm still teaching bar via Zoom. But then, like, all these people are having like an existential crisis, needing to like deal with themselves and change. So the breathwork sessions have really blown up. And so, like, I'm leading like 4 events tomorrow via Zoom, plus seeing private clients. I'm booked until like mid-July, just doing wow. like all of these sessions, like a combo of group events that people have hired me, like lead breathwork for like Instacart employees, Hulu employees. Like wow. I've done some partnerships with like Thinks and Parachute, the sheets linen company. Yes. So like these like brands have hired me, but then I'm also doing like one-on-one sessions.
So you're like a corporate self-help guru.
So, those are your words. I wouldn't say that. I have to say, I actually really love the individual sessions the most because people are, like I said, like there's so many people, like everything that they've been avoiding is coming to the surface. And so I don't feel like a therapist. I feel more like a friend that they're talking to. And then like I lead them through this process of just releasing all of it.
Well, and that also, when, I mean, it wasn't until whenever I realized how much I don't breathe is always a real shock.
Yeah.
Like we just I've only touched lightly into some of that work and I've been like, oh, wow, I actually never let my stomach go. I mean, never get like all the way up to my upper lung points.
Yeah.
And that's really, it's key. And people can book you through, if people want to find you, they're going to find you through Wolf Medicine on Instagram or what's your website?
Well, on my Instagram, I have a link tree where they can go to my website to book a session. But I would say Instagram is where, like, there's so many like events coming up. I haven't even like been able to post them on my website. So like Instagram is mostly where I'm just posting. Like I said, like this week, I don't know, I have like 12 events and private sessions this week.
And now is this a complete fracture from the dance world? And was that intentional?
I'll say this. I got really frustrated with the amount of work physically, especially that I was putting into dance and like not being compensated financially to sustain myself. And I was so, so tired of just like piecing together work. And maybe that's that Aries moon side of me that was like, well, I'm just not going to do it anymore. Like,
totally. Well, I mean, there's also something to that. I like to work and I need to have a job.
Yeah.
And that job needs to compensate me for how much work I've done.
Yes.
And I was thinking, Regina, of you did this piece that I brought. I remember bringing Mark Swanson to it and someone from PS1 when you were at 92nd Street Y. Okay. It was you and Niall.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was using Vogue, but also deconstructing it. Mm-hmm. It is one of the best pieces utilizing Vogue I've ever seen in my entire life. You. Still. And I remember it, like, it shook me and I have thought of it.
Oh my God.
Throughout my life. And that's quite a while ago. That's like 20, that was like 2011 maybe.
Yeah.
I missed that.
It was incredible.
It's somewhere. And then, I don't even know if I have video of it.
And you were employing Vogue vernacular. Was that something that was a part of your own physical practice?
It's so funny. It still is. Like, I Vogue around my apartment still. It's basically, I feel very like this is across the board because it still comes up. I feel like with dance and even now, just like underappreciated, not seen. Like, if you want mm-hmm. me to perform in your show, I want $10,000. Like, with the amount of work that goes into making yeah. something, I wanted money. And again, I just was so burnt out on like rehearsal.
Yeah.
Being exhausted. You're in rehearsal from like 2 to 10 p.m. and then like still having to scramble to make money. I wish that like all of that creativity that I put into things was being compensated the way I wanted it to, but like I'm not going back to it until I literally can make like $10,000 from one show.
Did you have fear? Did you have fear or anxiety when you were in these like undercompensated situations about opening up that conversation around transparency with choreographers, or were you open to just discussing it?
I didn't even discuss it because like, as far as I could see, like no one had the money. You know, I did do some shows that paid really well, but like I need for every show to pay really well. Especially now, like this is just an example. Someone's like, hey, can you lead breathwork for my employees at my office? We're all really stressed out. We'll give you $350 to do 45 minutes. And it's like, yeah, that's all I have to do. And it's like fulfilling. I look forward to it. I want $350 an hour to rehearse. And I really will not go back to it until like the financial compensation fits the work and I want that for everybody, really.
Right. In our dance universe, we don't have like a clear relationship between sweat equity and compensation.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Well, and also the more, and this has always been true, but the more avant-garde the work is, the less it's going to traffic in capital.
Yes.
Because capital wants to traffic with what it's known.
Yes.
Because it wants a safe bet. So it needs to be something that's known and very sellable. And if it's edgy just enough.
Mm-hmm.
And my experience of when I was thinking back to this piece I've been watching with you and Niall was that it was so embodied and so full and so fierce and performed in such an like with everything you had, mm-hmm. and that is it was like when it went beyond dance for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was really dance was being utilized,
yeah.
but there was a lot going on that was psychological, mm-hmm. emotional, and then even going into these realms of a kind of cathartic experience for sure. Which is what I want from dance. And I don't, you know, having just had Emily Johnson and Yanira Castro on about, in terms of talking about
New Futures.
New Futures document they had written. And how do we, well, I wanted to write like, part of what I'm also thinking about in here is grants. And how many, and did you apply for grants, Regina?
No.
Oh, okay. You just knew better.
That's wise.
Oh my God, that sounds like a nightmare.
I did it a lot, and it you know, it was one of these things where I think the kind of growing up part around it was, or where I needed to grow up around it was that, you have to kind of scan like the board and what's being selected and all of that and like really, you know, let go. And what comes up in the New Futures document is what happens when like someone gets, you know, the one grant for $50,000 and then everyone else gets nothing.
Yeah.
And this idea that came up in the first Dance Union town hall of that where people who worked in the nonprofit sector said there actually is enough.
Interesting.
For everyone. And I was like, really? I was like, I've never heard that. I was like, that hasn't been my experience. And, and certainly when I'm talking about a budget or when I compare notes with other people. But yes, I mean, the amount of labor one puts into something, especially if it is interdisciplinary or, you know, using different forms to accomplish a goal that's maybe larger than the form itself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm.
I think is when it gets complicated.
Yeah.
Funding wise.
Regina, are you still invested in dance in New York? Do you go to shows? I feel that I have not seen you in a while.
I don't. I think when I decided to try to make a sustainable life doing something else, it's taken so long to build this. Before I knew it, I'm it's already 2020. And I've spent the past 6 years just trying to get this other part of my life built up. And just teaching a bunch of bar classes and then just going home and be like, I don't even want to leave this apartment. And literally before I know it, it was 6 years later. So it wasn't, I definitely miss seeing shows and everything. It just was me really just being really lazy and just tired and ugh, I don't want to leave the apartment. I have seen a few things, especially because my partner, used to work for the Public Theater. So, we've been to Under the Radar shows and stuff and loved mm-hmm. them and reminded me so much about I love seeing people be creative and everything. I personally just want to not work some sort of side hustle.
I love it. But I also will say that part of the experience of participating in the dance community, dance mm-hmm. world is seeing and being with certain people at performances, or just their presence, being in proximity to them makes a difference. And mm-hmm. I feel with somebody like you, your presence was always very deeply felt, mm-hmm. at least by me. And I feel like it is a loss. I don't know why I mm-hmm. suddenly feel emotional about it, but it mm-hmm. does feel like a loss, not just to not have your practice inside of it, but to not have you present in terms of your power just as a viewer. So that just struck me.
I love it. I mean, I really, it was, I mean, it's such a complicated, it gets so complicated inside of how we talk about funding and then how we talk about how we want to participate inside of it in terms of how we want to take care of ourselves and mm-hmm. what kind of life we want to have. And I do actually want to push back and say, I do not think one is lazy when one teaches all day and then doesn't have the energy to get on two to three different subways to focus one's attention and give in the way you want to give. Because I think especially when you're a maker, at least this is how I am as a maker, is I can't go see a work without a different kind of participation mm-hmm, level mm-hmm, in it mm-hmm, mm-hmm. than just a regular audience member. Yeah. I'm not a regular audience member because I'm a maker.
Yeah.
So right. I can't, I'm a maker first before I'm an audience member at this point. And so that requires a level of, when I started teaching college and I'm watching students work all day long and critting it all day long, I would have to fully remove that hat, get on this different, it was, it's exhausting.
Yes, totally.
And one has to actually sleep. The overwork and the idealization of that really made that leave me this year. I think people are seeing that also as we were oh wow, I actually could stay in my house and keep working.
Yeah.
Right.
And eat three meals a day and sleep.
Yes, yes.
Wait a second. What's the economy? It's a myth.
Would you say that your resentment helps keep your distance from dance, or is it not so much that?
No, I think that definitely plays into it. And you're also making me realize maybe I took it very personally, wanting financial compensation to match what I was putting into it. I just felt so much was put into everything I made and performing for other people. And this isn't mm-hmm. to knock anyone I've worked with before. Again, I want all of us to make a sustainable income, and 20 grand a year is not sustainable. 40 grand a year is not sustainable. I'm talking 80, 90, 100 grand a year, especially if you live in New York or a bigger city around the world. And so, my attitude definitely was well then, bye. And so that being said, like I said, my partner did manage to like get me out to see some performances, and I was like so fulfilled, loved it, especially one show we saw in particular, the latest Under the Radar performance, a group out of Australia that is differently abled people, some of them autistic, physical disabilities. It was kind of across the board, and they are a theater collective that makes pieces as a group collectively. And the one that they made was really, really, really good. Definitely one of those shows where I walked out of it, like loving it, couldn't stop talking about it, couldn't sleep. I was still thinking about it and like reminded like, oh, this is what I love about seeing performances and everything. And so then I even told her, I was like, okay, we got to see more. Obviously that's not happening now, but I have always said like, dance performing is not 100% off the table. If an opportunity that really spoke to me came about, I would definitely participate, especially since I've had so much time away from it. I just was like so, so burnt out and physically exhausted. And then I kind of got that way with bar. I love it. Like I get as fulfilled because I'm still doing dance moves. I'm doing pliés. I'm like doing grand pliés. Like it's like a hardcore dance class, like strengthening dance class. But then I was getting burnout on that, teaching like four classes a day, 3 days a week. So my own quarantine awakening was just like replenishing my body. Like you're saying, like eating regularly, getting amazing sleep, and then like, yeah, getting super into my YouTube workouts and like having fun with that.
I think that's
go ahead, Reed. Sorry.
I was just going to say it's a good lesson. I mean, for me to hear you talk about kind of base minimum compensation and self-care that would require you to be a part of this field. And, you know, dance or in all the arts, there's this attitude like, oh, like it's not about making money. It has to be about the work and on. But like, particularly in dance, which is inevitably a field that can leave you with absolutely nothing. Once it's over, you're left with...
Well, and it can leave you with injuries.
Right. It can
psychological abuse.
Totally. It can like negatively impact your future. So to be basically for that art form to be like the bottom of the totem pole of the arts and to be left with nothing is a lot to deal with psychically. Yeah. So I feel proud that you took a stand.
Thank you.
Well, and again, and Regina and I were talking about this before you joined, and it was, and it is just this, this thing I was reflecting back on, because like when you came through in my mind last week, literally while I was meditating, and that I like saw that show, and I remember being at it, and I'm not going to say what show it was, but I remember being at a show and sitting across the aisle from you and watching things in this show that I had seen you execute a couple years prior in a way that felt really cathartic, human, non-theoretical. And I remember, and I'm touch and go with theory and dance. It's like, as I say to my students, like, is this a paper or a performance? Because when we talk about performance and the use of that form, its utility, why are you using it? And if it's theoretical, okay, but why? Like, let's get some sort of dramaturgy here. But I remember looking across the aisle at you and us like locking eyes. I remember just mouthing, I'm sorry.
Oh, I don't even remember that.
it's all right. And I remember you just looking at me and being like, yeah. And then I literally didn't see you again for like 2 or 3 years. And the next time I saw you, you were like, I'm doing Ayurveda. And I was like, yes, I'm a Vata Pitta with a dosha, with like a kafic problem.
Yes, I remember that conversation. Yes.
Yeah. Well, it was this thing where when I looked across the aisle, it was like, it was the look of like when I relate in maybe an Aries Moon way of like when Jean Grey turns into Dark Phoenix.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, because you were just like, I'm out. It was, and it is this thing around, okay, well, if people are selected and only some are, and I'm a beneficiary of that. I've absolutely had like great success, but then the thing is, like, what's the, in terms of the capital, also even what that is can be so unreal for the people who are selected.
Mm-hmm.
It still doesn't mean, like, that they're make, they're probably, like, it is that thing of, like, welcome to your 40K.
Yeah.
And that, you're rich on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas, like, you ask anyone else and they're like, how you get insurance with that?
Yes.
Remember in your interview with Leslie Farrow, Jack, when she was, like, talking about...
Farlow, yeah.
Farrow. Yeah. Is Farrow a grain?
Yes.
Tremendous. It's not quite brown rice and it's not quite pasta.
Leslie Farlow, who was such a pioneer in her organization of the AIDS Oral History Projects, but she was so, it was kind of really funny when she was talking about people's lived experiences being A, of all a minority, B, of all queer, and then to top it all off, dance, you know, which is like the lowest of the arts. So it's kind of, it's amazing.
Yeah,
it all
she
revolves
was,
around that.
Yeah, and she said, and at that point, it's like, she was like, marginal doesn't even cover it,
yeah.
I think is, was her quote.
Yes.
So it is this thing then of, and I think in coming from already the zones of, you know, being marginalized through the sort of that socially, then what that means in dance, and then being like, wait, I have to take care of myself because who else is going to here?
Yes, totally. And there was a little bit of, so I was like around 32 when I started all of like switching over, and there was in my mind, I was like, by the time I'm 35, I want this, 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 and this. And then 35 came and went, and like none of that shit had happened. It's like just now at almost 39. But it was a little bit of also just like, what's my future gonna look like? I do, again, there was like certain side hustles that I was just so over, especially art modeling. Great people to work with, but like physically holding a pose, it was just fucking up my body. I was done with it. I wanted to like,
when,
yeah.
When you had that list for 35, like what was that?
I didn't even, I do not do like 5-year plans. I don't do 1-year plans. None of it.
Well, that wouldn't work for an Aries moon.
No.
It's way too like, I'm going over here now.
Yes. I don't consider myself someone who lives in the moment, but I guess I am. Oh, by 35, I was like, I just want to be making money. I didn't even have a specific amount. I want to be making money and living comfortably, doing what I love. And I wanted my own apartment or like living with someone I was dating. And like I was very, I had very lofty goals about apartment living situation. All of that stuff has come to fruition. It just like took way longer, way longer.
But at that point when you made that list, was being a choreographer still the thrust of how you were going to get it?
No. See, that shows like I wasn't even that specific. I just said I want to make a sustainable living doing what I love.
And were you trying to write this into the universe through like journaling or scrapbooking?
Oh, I do everything. What? I like candle magic, carving runes into candles, vision boards, rituals, tarot readings.
Amazing.
I thought like Ayurveda specifically was going to be like what would sustain me while I was dancing. But then it was like taking so long for everything to, or to me, my perception, a long time. That before I knew it, I just was like concentrating more on more and more on just building Ayurveda, yoga. I think the turning point was like finding bar. I fucking love it. I love it. And
I've never taken
it. Oh my God. I love it. It's so fucking hard. It's so
it's
hard.
Real. I took
but then
once
I'm still dancing.
And I was like, it's too hard. I took one class.
Yeah. I love it. It's super hard, but then it's based in dance, like I said. So you're doing like grand pliés, you're doing, some studios are doing like straight up dégagés and stuff like that and like passés and stuff, but then they just like make it harder with weights.
It's like intense glute activation for long periods of time. Yeah. And I was like, I gotta go. Oh, I can't do that.
Absolutely. Reed was like, I'm gonna hang over my legs for 2 hours.
I'm so the opposite. So then I was like, whoa, this is fun. Like, I just turn on all my favorite music and then we just like sweat our asses off and you're shaking. It's so hard. I love this. And it was like fulfilling that same sort of desire to like move my body and all of that. And I have to say, like, I'm stronger than I ever have been before. Like, especially upper body wise, I definitely like doing push-ups that I never could do before.
Where did you go to, you went to school for dance?
Yeah.
And where?
I got my BFA in 2004 from Arizona State, and then my MFA in 2006 from Hollins University.
Didn't Barton go to Arizona State?
Who?
Barton Cowperthwaite.
He's younger.
I don't know.
He's younger.
It doesn't matter. I don't know. But
Hollins. Let's talk about Hollins.
Yeah.
In 2006. So is that like... Wait, but Lindsay comes later. Yeah. Jillian Pena was there then, though, right?
No, Jillian and I are the same age, but she got her BFA from there.
Oh, okay.
And then Lindsay, I think, was like a year or two after me.
Uh-huh. So was Jesse Zaret?
Jesse was a year after me, possibly. There's only like, I've definitely lost track of anyone who's graduated from here. I only kept up with maybe two or three, because that was a long time ago. 2006
is a long time ago.
Yeah, I was in my mid-20s.
Yeah.
So I've lost track, definitely.
I'm basically in that program right now, except it's at UArts.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
It's Donna Faye. We'll have to have Donna Faye on this podcast.
Get her on there.
I mean,
two Aquarius having a combo. That should be interesting.
That's right. Donna Faye is Aquarius. Yes. Makes sense.
Tracks. Like, I'm still friends with a lot of people, but like I said, if anyone later, like anyone from like 2008 and beyond, like, I don't really know them. It was mostly the people.
And then after Hollins, who I know we're kind of like backtracking here, but after Hollins, what was your trajectory into New York?
I was in New York between my BFA and my MFA, so I just went right back. Mm. So between completing my BFA and starting Hollins, I lived here, left for a year, and then came back, and then have been.
And you were working.
Yeah, but what was your thought? Like, why? What was your reason for going back to get your MFA?
Oh, you totally reminded me. I just was like, I'm going to just do this. I had no plan. See, no 5-year plan. I just was like, I just want to go back to dancing all day.
Mm.
Did you get your wish? Was there dancing all day at Hollins?
Quite a bit. It changed a lot after us. We had quite a bit of required classes. I was taking like 2 or 3 classes.
Maybe I'd be dancing all day if I wasn't in Zoom living room, but you know, like today in Ishmael's movement practice class, I made an accumulation dance with some plates and like tomatoes and you know what I mean? Like
there was no quarantine during my MFA. We were definitely dancing a lot.
Wow.
Well, and that is this interesting thing on Zoom. I mean, we just went through that in terms of Bard, and I know I don't really know what the dance division did in terms of how they were still working with students. But for my performance classes, I was like, you're going to have to move.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We're going to have to warm up every day and you're going to have to make these solos and it's just going to have to happen.
I've been out of academia so long that although sometimes I fantasize about getting my PhD in dance, but I don't want to do anything. I don't want to write papers.
No. I love it. I want to get my PhD, but I don't want to do anything. So it's like, just
well, if my PhD, here's how you could get me to work. If my PhD could incorporate astrology and
bar technique
and like a spiritual awakening and dance, you could get me to write a paper in a minute.
Regina, I actually feel that might be possible.
Absolutely.
Maybe
I mean, I like, does Naropa have a PhD?
Maybe. I should look.
I know they have a master's, because it's like, if there is a place, I'd be like, well, Naropa sounds kind of like a place where that might be able to actually happen. But I also feel that, you know, there's people who I've known who've like gone to Harvard Divinity, you know, like, and that is a, also that school, I know someone who works there now, it's like they bring in interest, like they bring in poets, and it's, I've talked about maybe going there, so...
I could be wrong, because I don't, you know, I haven't been to school much, but I feel like you can do your PhD about anything as long as you just get in the school.
And then I also like, and write this book.
Yeah, that's the problem.
You do have to write that book.
No, thanks.
Or you end up getting that, like, those letters that stand for, like, all but dissertation or something or the ABD, which is some sort of shitty part. So then you moved to New York and you were a choreographer, and then you were also dancing for people?
Yeah. Up until 2012.
Who were you dancing for?
Oh, God. I'm suddenly blanking. I'm totally blanking out. I did one thing with Miguel for the Boston ICA. And then... I did one of Katie Pyle's Ballets performances, like early iteration of Ballets. Then I did Young Jean's piece. A lot, most of it was my own stuff.
Yeah, most of it was yours. Yeah. That's what I was interested about. Because I Young Jean's was a Feminist Manifesto,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Weren't you in that? Yeah, yes. that was the one I was remembering.
Yes.
Because I had a bunch of friends in that, like Becca and Erin.
Yeah.
And then you were like, I can't do that. Well, and also through that, you were also getting to experience tour life. Because Feminist Manifesto moved around.
Yeah. But I only did Europe, and then we went to San Francisco. And then when we went to San Francisco, I set up a bunch of OKCupid dates as a way to like see the city with people. No romance happened. I was in a bitter place with romance. So I just was like, we're just going to be friends. But one person had a car and she drove me all around. We went all over, and I'm still friends with her. She ended up marrying someone and having a kid. Like, we're still in touch.
Wow. That's a really good way to do tours, to be like, and then I'm going to go on a bunch of dates every day.
Oh, no, that's basically,
like the way self-care shows up inside of is that as it sort of stays central and eventually ends up being like this thing, this practice is ending up not being self-care for me.
And so outside of your physical practices for self-care in quarantine, what other things will you do in a day to heal or to eat well? Do you have things to teach our listeners?
I would say... I just completed a 40-day Kundalini abundance ritual that I was taught in Ayurveda school. And so that was my morning, 7 minutes every morning. And then I noticed like, oh, this is really helping me chill out. So I quit doing the ritual, but every morning I've just been having like meditation time. Mm-hmm. Mornings have always been like a big self-care thing for me, despite quarantine, getting up really early. I like have the quiet apartment to myself and I drink some matcha and like read a book. And I'm leading so many like meditations and breath work that like I basically sit and like go through deep breaths with people. I like get them into a grounded place. So I'm kind of just chilling and relaxing too. And everything. So I think the hardest thing is if I've had a long day, like still making myself or motivating, shall I say, motivating myself to do some sort of movement thing. But if I find
that's
the right
just for you.
Yeah. I mean,
right.
Just as a dancer, as someone who moves, I go into classes from that space of like being kind of critical of teachers and
sure.
as far as, like, I love a good, hard, like, hit bar class. So finding teachers I resonate with and people who aren't just, like, on autopilot has been, like, interesting. And, yeah, like, my dance training has really informed, like, how I approach a class. And it's also just, as someone who teaches, the number of people who just enter a class because they think they have to work out and then just, like, don't connect to their bodies, that has been the biggest awakening for me ever. Because, yeah, when I go into a HIIT class, like, I got into Muay Thai right before quarantine. I found this place where you didn't have to join it, like, a gym. They were having Muay Thai classes. And
what's that? What is that?
It's like, you know, Tai Bo, Billy Blanks.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
That, the foundations of that are Muay Thai. So you're punching, but you're also kicking. And there's, like, kicking techniques and stuff. And so we, like, kick the bag and punch and then, like, do burpees and stuff. And, yeah, just the amount of people who are in there who are just, like, not connected to their bodies at all. And I don't know. There's so many reasons people show up to do these things. But, like, I'm 100% focused in there because I'm, like, this is my time to, like, move my body and connect and, like, get sweaty and get out aggression from the Aries moon and, like, punch a bag and stuff.
Right.
And so just as a teacher, the amount of people who just are not in there for those reasons at all, just, again, like, not connected to their bodies whatsoever. It's very interesting to, like, witness as a student and a teacher when I take classes.
As a teacher, when you're doing breath work, I'm assuming you're having clients who start crying.
Yeah.
What is the kind of container that you set up for yourself and for the client?
I actually, they don't really drain me. I don't get sucked in. It depends on the person. Some people, I don't say too much. The music's playing. I let them cry. And this is all very intuitive just based on the conversation we have before starting.
Right.
Some people, I know they're fine. They're going to cry. I know they're safe. And then there's other people, I'll tell them, like, take a break if you need to, take in some deeper breaths. And lately I've just been reminding people, like, you're still in your body. You're still in your room. You're still, like, held, like, they're on their bed or their couch. And so, that's the one thing. In real life, when I'm doing these, I will, like, put my hands on their feet to help them ground.
Right.
And, like, that was part of the training. Like, he told us, like, touch their shoulders or touch their feet or something. And that usually helps them a lot. I've never had anyone be like, I need to go to the hospital or anything like that.
Right.
There's only been two times where it took someone, like, an hour to finally get back into themselves.
Yeah.
I had to sit, like, in those two situations, I had to sit for an extra hour because they were, like, still, like, their body was vibrating a lot. No one, like, hysterically crying, just, they literally couldn't walk. Like, their body was vibrating so much, they had to just, like, lie there. And one time I was at a festival and, like, the next class started, so I just, like, moved them to the corner and just, like, sat with them in the corner while this other yoga class was happening. But, like, she couldn't.
I really love the idea of that being like, I'm just going to grab you by your ankles now and drag you to this corner.
Yeah.
I'm going to roll you into a fetal position and put you under a yoga blanket because a class is coming in.
Yeah. Well, she, thank goodness, she was a Kundalini teacher. So she was like, I've never had this happen, but, like, I know I'm going to be okay. She just needed an extra.
I did a Kundalini once, like a really intense Kundalini class once in that place in Union Square. And I was like, I don't know if I can do this because it really did start to, like, go up the back out of my skull.
Oh, yeah. No, that, like, shit will fuck you up in a good way.
And I was like, I literally had to leave, get, like, a venti iced coffee, smoke a cigarette, and go hook up with someone. Like, I was like, I have to, I got to get this energy, like, out, because I'm about to, like, spiral a snaky way across the bridge, honey.
When someone is staying beyond their allotted time, when you put your hands on their feet, you also have to be like, we're now going to move into, you know, advanced pricing. You'll be paying double for this session.
No, thank goodness it's only, well, the time that I was at the festival, I was okay with it. Like, I had nothing afterwards. The other time it was a private session. And again, like somebody else was coming into the space to meet with their private client. So I did have to like rush her out and we like sat in the lobby. But then eventually I was like, I have to go. You need to call an Uber.
And I need to call an ambulance.
She like eventually made her way home, but she messaged me and was like, I need like 3 months before I do this again. So.
And it can do a lot. It's been a friend of mine's a psychoanalyst and she has done various different forms of other modalities to see about it. And breath work really changed a lot.
Yeah.
What I would love to hear you talk about the experience of dance, kind of like what we do there in terms of our body and how that relates to healing and spirituality, if you want to.
I talk about this quite a bit. Dancers just, what's so amazing and what I encourage them to have gratitude for is like, we're so connected to our bodies. I think dancers can slip into so many different movement practices and do it with ease and joy. And I don't think it's a coincidence that so many dancers go into Pilates, yoga. Some of them like become shaman and stuff. Like it's so connected because they like understand like so how joy can be found through movement. They know that. And they're like, I want to share this with everyone. Because again, teaching barre, teaching yoga, I see so many people who, and there's so many reasons for it, are disconnected from their bodies. And some of them want to be connected. Some of them don't even realize they want to be connected. I just think dancers are really at an advantage in the world. It can be very beneficial to be connected to your body and very intuitive and understand all of that. Like you are at an advantage with so many different things.
Beautiful.
What do you, in terms of the time we're in right now, and in terms of the work that you're doing physically, mentally, spiritually, if you were to give some advice at this time from, because you really have a practice and I would love also to hear about that. If you have any advice for people at this time from what you've been doing.
My biggest advice is there's two things. Find self-care tools that you will actually stick with. If your goal at the beginning of quarantine was to meditate an hour a day, good luck. Maybe you stuck with it. But like find something you look forward to and that you'll stick with because it will help you cope and change your reaction to adversity. When you find that thing that works for you, again, your reaction to things that come at you will shift. And two, also get creative about what self-care and routine mean to you because it can be very subtle and it doesn't need, I say this all the time, self-care is not like a bath every night or a massage or acupuncture several times a week. Like those are great, but it can show up in ways that are free or low cost. Like just get very creative about like really and truly what does self-care mean? Because also the power of no, saying no to people, having boundaries, that's fucking self-care.
How I'm also curious how you got into, I mean, and the kind of spirituality that you've gotten into has this quality of, I mean, I know that it's, I mean, even in terms of just this conversation, it's like we've spoke some about Kundalini, but you've also like brought in Wicca and, you know, various forms of magic. Mm-hmm. And how did that come about for you in your life, if you don't mind talking about
it? Yeah. That was very much a Saturn's return thing where I was like, I'm going to use some rituals and magic to make my life not as hellish. And it worked. I feel like I really did get through Saturn's return and beyond because I started investigating astrology. And I have to say, I didn't really and truly really understand my chart and astrology and all of the planets and the houses till maybe like the past 6 months. out of all of the research I've done, it finally clicked, and like really understanding the subtleties of each sign. I think there's stuff that people understand on the surface. They're like, Cancers cry. And like, that's all they know. And it's like, right. There's so much more. And Aquarius is just going to be like loony. And it's like, when you can start to understand how to get the most out of your chart, then you really are utilizing it. And notice like how subtle, because also Cancers have a reputation for being like really passive aggressive when they're pissed. And I'm like, that's not me. I'm really confrontational. But then I was like, oh yeah, but like all angry queen and like, you could have cleaned this up too, but I'm not going to say. And then I was like, oh, that's that passive aggressive when it comes to cleaning. I definitely angry clean rather than just saying, hey, boo, do you mind helping me? Yeah, like Saturn's return. I just was like, I need a way to deal with all this shit that's happening. And I like found comfort in tarot and astrology and Ayurveda. And because as I said, I learned how to react to things happening in a way that I saw results. Like I started changing my reaction to shit that was coming at me. And then it's just evolved into trying my hardest and getting much better at, rather than like blame and how dare you, I just observe my reaction. And like that can inform me about how I behave.
Cool. Fully. I mean, it's like, it's interesting. I was thinking today of things, places I miss going to, and it's like enchantments and stick, stone, and bone are like two places that I really, I'm not, I don't really want to go into Manhattan until.
Oh, I haven't.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, there's like a shot. but until we actually get that shot, all of that makes sense to me. Yeah. And
speaking of modalities and practices, do you have a television practice that you do regularly?
Oh yeah. Ironically, despite all of the like assisting and healing, I love true crime. I'm exclusively basically true crime.
Wow.
Anything on investigation. It does not matter. I can witness someone crying and be there for them. And then like, all I want to do is watch a show about a serial killer who was caught. Mm-hmm. Or sadly, most true crime involves a woman who was killed by a man.
Right.
But I love true crime. I love true crime. Anything on investigation discovery, I'm here for it.
Wonderful.
So you're not as much of like a TV show, like
No, and you know, it's funny because I'm Instagram friends with someone who is on that show Fleabag, and I'm always like, I'm gonna watch your show, but I just am like, no one, there's no dead body that they need to figure out who killed the woman. It's always a woman. And so
Fleabag's so good, but I love that you just it's like it's not gonna happen for you, because you're right, there isn't a murder serial killer even subplot.
It's really hard to get me
disappointed, Regina.
It's really hard. So many people, you gotta watch this show, you gotta watch this show. I can't even finish a season, and then I'm just like, what's on Investigation Discovery? And I also I love reality TV. I love Real Housewives, Vanderpump Rules. All of them. I'm ride or die for all of them, but I have to say New York and Beverly Hills have always been my, New York is like my number one top fave. Vanderpump Rules, I love all of it.
Jack and I just watched the most incredible piece of kind of Instagram performance of somebody who dubbed over some incredible fight of the Housewives of Beverly Hills
with the peanuts.
No, they're at a dinner and they're yelling at each other, and some queen dubbed over all of them, just whispering all of their lines.
Oh, I don't know that
one. So the whole fight's done by whispering. I'll send it to you. Okay, yeah. It's It's my friend Mikey Pop, and I think his Instagram is DJ Mikey Pop. He was becoming a DJ when I met him, like back in the day. Queer Mafia, and he did like a post yesterday of like it open. It's like just a bunch of different videos, and one like it starts with, Tyra freaking out these girls on America's Next Top Model, and like how watching Tyra's psychological torture of models was really what formed him as a gay person.
She's a Sagittarius.
Ooh, like Reed. Yeah. I have to say, having rewatched some America's Next Top Model, she is such an incredible actress. She should run for president.
She's so good.
When
do you know what her greatest acting ability is? Is that she has an incredible ability to mimic other people with her face. Like she can look at your face and say, "This is what you're doing with your face." Uh-huh. And this is what you should be doing with your face.
That AML is a really good ability. I mean, I'll never forget watching the episode when she's like, I don't feel well. And then she falls down on the floor, and then she gets up and she's like, just kidding, today's an acting challenge.
Oh my God.
I remember being like, that is iconic. That is really good. That is for real.
Oh my God, Tyra.
Tyra, I mean, I want to be friends with her. I think.
No.
Yeah, it's funny. I have a friend of mine's a social worker, and the way she comes down is by watching true crime.
Yes.
And I was like, how?
Love it.
Can that be what you do?
I rarely
am
triggered.
I can't bear it. I can't even watch a fictive movie where something like that happens.
Have you seen Precious?
That movie?
Yes, Reed.
Yeah. No, that's fucked up. I can't watch it. I can't watch it.
Well, it's very disturbing. Yeah. It was on TV recently here. And, you know, in recent years, I've been observing the absurdity of Mariah Carey because she had her own reality show, etc.
Yes.
She is in Precious, and she is excellent, and
she's incredible.
It's so weird. It's a shock.
Isn't that weird?
I loved it.
Yeah, she's really amazing. That movie was so gutting.
Yeah, I can't handle. I can't handle that actually.
I had known like the poems pre, and I think because I had like seen like a YouTube of Precious reading one or something, and it was really like, yeah, that one's rough. That's a different kind of true crime.
It is. It's very different. I'm talking about the ones with like reenactments.
Yeah.
The reenactments are what I love.
Well, they're also kind of bad. So do you also kind of love just the camp quality of that?
I have a dream. I want to be a reenactor on an investigation discovery show. I think I would be very good. I love it.
To the producers out there that tune in. To the producers out here that tune in, if you want to see someone scream really hard that it scares the audience, I can tell you Regina Rock could do numerous takes of it.
Yeah, or just write it into your next grant proposal and get to produce your own.
I would love it.
Well, I'm kind of like, fuck the grant. Dial up LA. It's like let's bypass that and go straight to Hollywood where there's like actual money. God.
My friend was a reenactor in an investigation discovery show a couple of years ago. And her name's Kat. And I was so jealous. I messaged her and I was like, this is one of my dreams. And she was like, I had a great time. My agent got me the job. I loved it. She played the sister of the victim.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. That is so, well, Regina, you got to carve a candle for that one.
And then
we'll see it happen.
What about a fully produced one like Dirty John when they turned that into a thing? Did you watch that?
Yes. Yes. Loved it. Oh, okay. Loved it. Yes. I love that true crime story. And also my partner she doesn't know about like Jodi Arias. So we had to watch some true crime about that. Scott Peterson, Casey Anthony. Like I was like, you got it.
I don't know any of the stuff you're talking about.
Oh my God. They're very well known cases.
It's too hard. The Casey Anthony case is like, I can't.
Oh my God.
Also when like children get involved, I'm like, I can't, this is.
It weirdly does not trigger me, but.
I understand. It calms you down. It must be kind of like homeopathy or something. Maybe. For you. Where you like take poison basically to get, you know, to like trigger your immune system the other way.
I have a question, Regina. Yeah. You of course watched Making a Murderer, right?
Haven't gotten to that one yet.
Oh, okay. Because I just wanted to know your opinion. Is he guilty? And also, did Adnan do it from Serial?
I don't believe he did. I do not.
Okay.
I do not. There's so much evidence that it's reasonable doubt. Like, wasn't he like?
I agree.
He was like at Best Buy or some shit when that happened. I agree. 100% believe that he is innocent.
Okay, good.
I also believe, I did hear a Serial. I think he's, you know the Serial I loved, but maybe it wasn't Serial. It's where they tried to find that aerobics queen.
Richard Simmons. Richard Simmons.
Looking for Richard Simmons was really such an incredible.
Oh, yes. Like, it's not really true crime, Regina, but it's very good.
Okay.
It was mysterious. Yeah. But like, with someone at the center that it shouldn't be this mysterious, and yet makes all the sense that it would be. And I did see parts of Making a Murderer. I think I saw the second season and it depressed me so hard. I was like, I can never watch something like this again.
It's okay. Devastating. Yeah.
You would love it. It's right up your alley, Regina. It's right up your alley. I mean, I have to watch things like my homeopathy is certainly watching women needing to do whatever they need to do. It's like I can somehow extend it more. I don't like watching men do anything. That's like a real period for me. So that is where like true crime doesn't. I don't want to watch men talking about anything. I don't want to watch men killing people. Like, yes. It's so redundant to me. Yes. I'm like, well, obviously.
But almost all true crime shows paint men in a terrible light, which is good, you know?
Yes, but.
Accurate.
As we're watching
Casey Anthony, honey.
Oh, God. Oh,
talk
my God.
About
I live for
nightmare
her.
Evil.
I
like,
live for her.
That's so dark, Regina. She, you know that she's like possessed by something like.
Oh, I've analyzed a lot of it. Why? I firmly believe that upbringing doesn't make someone, but it can contribute to behavior.
Sure.
And I still have questions about her upbringing that led her to allegedly do what she did.
You don't think she killed her daughter?
I definitely think she did.
Yeah, she absolutely did. Like, she really did. Oh, did you watch the one? I did watch this. It was where that girl got that guy to kill himself by talking to him on the phone.
Yes, that one, very controversial.
Yeah.
In the end, you have free will. Like,
it's true.
Someone could text me and say, kill yourself. And I'm going to go say, go fuck yourself. I'm not going to.
Yeah, exactly.
That was a very complicated case. It was very, very complicated, for sure.
It was very complicated. I mean, the fact that that actress, or that, sorry, that woman looks like Cara Delevingne.
She does. She does.
Like, I was like, oh, look, Cara Delevingne, or whatever her name is doing a reenactment thing. And it was like, no, that is her. And they just both have like dyed blonde hair and like your eyebrows.
Yep.
They both have my eyebrows. And if I dyed my hair blonde, then I could be the reenactor on that.
Wow.
You know, just like Palo Santo. Was that what was just happening? Was that Palo Santo?
Yeah, this makes me want to have a, we should have a related podcast to real crime shows.
Yes.
And the three of us could that'd be fun.
Well, I'll be like, I don't want to hear about it.
Oh, it's true.
Absolutely. I am literally, if like a woman or child's involved, I'm like,
Well, you can be there and just be like, and then what happened?
Yeah.
That would be me.
I'm good at retelling. I'm good at retelling and being like, you got to know about this case. Guess what? Like Jodi Arias. Does Jodi Arias trigger you?
I don't know who that is.
Me?
Yeah, Jack.
A little. Yes. Yeah. It's all like, this is where like my fantasies of like being an FBI or a CIA agent like end, because they'd be like, here are the photos. And I'd be like, oh, no. And I would like cry in my other room and have to like smoke a pack of cigarettes. Like I can't, Like, it's too... like, vulnerable people being injured in any, or, like, murdered, I can't.
That's why it doesn't explain how I'm so into it. You would think there's something about a reenactment of a true crime, or just...
Well, do you think you could be an FBI? Do you think, or, like, private investigator, et cetera? Do you think it could handle that? Like, looking at the photos and slides?
No, but somehow these
shows... So you can only handle it with the reenactment.
Yes.
Well, the other thing that happens for me and my partner Jeremy's witness this is if we're watching a movie, whether I've seen it or not, is I begin to like mimic all the faces of every single person on the camera.
Like Tyra.
And well,
like Tyra, exactly.
Absolutely. I like fall into the show. It becomes literally reality. I can't get over it.
Yeah.
It's like I just binged Mrs. America in 2 days like cried and cried and cried through every episode. Like could not stop crying after the last episode. Like sobbed. Like couldn't sleep. I haven't slept in 2 days. Like it's powerful for me.
Okay. No true crime for you.
So I can't because I'm like, why does this happen? Like at the end of Mrs. America, I literally just started screaming, why are people so mean, while sobbing?
Wow.
Like couldn't, like, I mean, my brilliant friend, Reed, and I have talked about this many times on this podcast, the way I fell into those books and then watching the show, obviously I'm not a little girl in post-World War II Naples, but I feel all the feelings of them. I relate so strongly with these two protagonists. And I sob kind of from the start of the credits to the end of the shows. I read all the books in a month.
Oh, like, you guys, I'm really, really hungry. And
I'm really sorry. No
but
problem.
I had the best time. Jack, your hair looks so good. I really love it.
Oh. It does.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thank you so much.
You look
Regina,
like,
I miss you. And when we're done with QT, we need to hang out.
Definitely.
Because it was so wild to be meditating last week and you like pinged so hard on the system. And then reading that Instagram post, I was like, have you ever done scrying?
No.
That's what I think I'm going to start. That's
do
my
it.
Next
do it, do
thing
it.
To get
Regina,
into.
Are you near the G train?
I'm a few stops from it. I'm a few stops from the church stop.
Oh, okay. Because Jack lives off the G train. I was just trying to help you guys facilitate.
Oh, no, I'm taking Ubers.
Yes.
Yes! Self-care. There's no trains anymore. We're taking cars.
Yeah.
It's a real, like, and finding a life that can match that.
Yeah.
Regina, thank you so much for spending time with us today. I adore you so much. Ladies, gentlemen, other, you want to change your life? I do suggest breathwork. Actually, Regina, I'm going to look at booking a session with you.
I would love that.
And I would love that. And we'll have a post about you so people will be able to find you.
Yay.
All right. Ladies, gentlemen, other, we loves you.
We do love you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, great.
Great.
Okay. So I just press stop, and then I think Kirsten can help me.
Oh.